This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday. It is March 19th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart for the next 3.5 hours, but we're all together. And the other 20.5 hours, that is your responsibility. Hope you're doing well. Hope you have a good weekend planned. The weather's supposed to be very, very nice, so we bank on that. We hope for it as well. It's also a very historic day in the history of the YES Network. Don, Peter, today's the day the YES Network started. First time it went on the air in 2002.
Wow.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
To us, them, everyone.
19 years ago.
Amazing, right?
And I remember
where
I was.
This is the 20th season. Where were you?
Well, I was working nights. And it was the old ABC newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was kind of gathered around to kind of see it. And I don't remember if there was, it was just weird. Like people just were so curious. And of course, there was the whole, it's not on Cablevision stuff, which got so much attention and so much conversation.
For a whole year.
But yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, this was a network that existed for a team. It was unheard of at the time.
And now everybody does it.
Now it's the way it's good. The Cubs are doing it.
Mets have done it.
You know,
Dodgers.
It's where we're going.
It's
pretty incredible stuff. But I just remember, I'm not going to say that it's so big that everybody knows where they were when that broadcast happened. I just remember there was a bunch of people from ABC. Remember, it was like a bunch of stations together. You know, ESPN, ABC, Radio Disney. So there was like a lot of people kind of roaming around, and I was working nights, and I forget who the Yankees were playing.
Reds.
And everybody was gathered around to see it.
Me and Jim Cott. And if you ever get a chance, all of you out there listening or watching, go to YouTube and Google the start of that game. And if you want to see the ravages of age, just take a look at me. Take a look at me on that open. And take a look at Peter. It's not that somebody's aged. It's somebody has somehow transposed himself into another species.
But I think anybody could say that after 20 years, Michael.
No. You gotta take a good hard look at this. It's unsettling what's happened in 20 seasons.
Would you say it's unsettling. In a word?
Troubling.
Well, but Peter, hear me out, because Michael just he can't listen right now. He's not gonna take it. He's not gonna understand it. There's probably no worse 20 years than 40 to 60.
That's tough.
Well, you're in the middle of that stretch now, Peter.
20 to 40 is tough.
Every 20-year stretch is tough. I'm just saying I went from...
Yeah, let's be honest, Don. 60 to 80 is not great either.
Yeah, but I hear 80, that's troubling.
I hear 80 to 100, though. It's nothing. Look at Harry.
Yeah, that is... But I'm saying in where you are, like for Michael in his career, you know, you're from 20 to 40, well, there's a lot of people, unless you're really good in this business where you're working at 20, 21 years old. You know, they're not going to know the first half of those 20 years because you weren't on TV yet. You weren't famous yet. But Michael was right in the wheelhouse of being, like, ultra exposed, and we've got to see those 20 years pan out every day of it.
Whether on the K Show, on YES. Nice. You're being very nice. All I ask of you, take a look. Get back to me.
Well, take a look at me. Peter,
you look
points
the same
it out all
other
the time.
Than your hair was black.
Now you're looking,
now
but there's the picture right there. They could show it. Of me at the, what was that, 2003? That's 18 years ago. Look at me. Now, my hair was all brown, and I didn't have any gray, but my face looks like a pumpkin.
Well, I look like an absolute mess. You look better. I look worse. That's all.
I don't really know, because...
I'm not looking for any compliment. I'm just telling you a fact.
The doughiness is gone. You were doughy back then.
I wasn't.
You were younger, but you were doughy.
Not in 2002, the height of my powers. You always
talk
about big rotation, height of my powers. Yes, yes is showing a still picture, but not from that game, but from a game in 2000. Different human being.
Michael always did well. He was awkward early, but then once he got through the awkwardness and the snorkel jacket and everything, he blossomed.
Yeah.
Monday really DeGrom, Tuesday Gerrit Cole, Wednesday Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan on Thursday. That's what we're talking about, Dom.
Do yourself
did you
favor.
Shave your mustache?
It's gone. Yeah.
Good for you and good for us.
It's gone. It's over.
You know who the happiest person in the world is right now, right?
My girlfriend?
Griffin in Connecticut.
You know what a bad guy. I was very disappointed by Griffin.
I know you were. It hurt you.
He just can't help but being honest.
You don't look good at all.
Yeah. I'm a Henderson. I'm going to bring it back, though, for November. Isn't it like that's like Men's Health Awareness?
Yeah, Movember, they call it.
So I'll bring it back for Movember. I'll do the real thing. But it's dead for now.
Good for you. All right. NFL free agency rages on. A very slow-moving market happens to be the wide receiver market. And Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a pretty high-end wide receiver, right? Signs a one-year deal to stay with Pittsburgh. $8 million. One-year deal.
Yeah.
That's a little bit weird. And Kenny Golladay is still out there. And as far as we know, maybe it's over by now, he met with the Giants last night. I guess he had a sleepover at Joe Judge's house. And then he's been with them all day. I guess they're having a physical exam or whatever. And they're also finding out what this guy's about. And it's funny because I read something that Urban Meyer said today. He's the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he talked about free agency. He said, yeah, it's awful. I don't agree with it, but no one asked my opinion. I guess in the old days you could bring them in and meet them, have dinner with them, find out their football intellect, find out their character. The thing you don't do, I found out, is call someone who has skin in the game because they're going to not quite, I don't see honest as a very appropriate word. So we did a deep dive. Every guy that we signed, we did to answer your question. That was awful. I don't believe it should be that way. Not when you're making organizational decisions. I'm not sure how that rule came about, but to me, that's not good business. Now, the Giants are getting an opportunity to do what Urban Meyer wants done. Because if you're one of the players that has a lot of teams bidding on you, you don't have to make any trips. You don't have to meet anybody. They all want you. But the wide receiver market, because there's so many wide receivers in this draft, right, is a slow-moving market. And Golladay has to go on a recruiting tour where he's recruiting them as much as they're recruiting him. So the Giants are actually benefiting from the slow market because they get a chance to know something about Golladay. They must have some doubts, Don. Otherwise, why would they even be doing this?
Well, there's rumors that he could have come back from his injury earlier and didn't, that he had problems with Matt Patricia. Patricia's close with Judge, so I'm sure they heard all the rumblings that this might be someone that you really need to talk to and find out that he's got his head where it needs to be if you're going to, you know, really invest long term. But when I see Schuster sign a one-year, $8 million contract, when he thought he was going to get possibly double that, That's going to hurt Golladay, right? He's not going to be able to command 18.5 a year if Schuster only signed a one-year deal worth $8 million. So that could help the Giants maybe get him a little bit cheaper, or whoever signs him, get him cheaper. Now, what Schuster's doing is a smart thing because we know that the cap is going to explode over the next year or so. When that television deal kicks in, there's going to be a lot of money to throw around. So if you believe in your skills, Pittsburgh's still a good football team. Let's not forget they were 11-0 last year before everything kind of fell apart. Maybe figures I can really build up my numbers in 1 year, and then there'll be more money for me once the cap goes up. So I think you're going to see a lot of one-year deals, and I think the player is smart to do that as long as he believes he'll have a good season and not get hurt, because there's going to be some money to throw around next year and the year after.
Well, that's the elephant in the room, though. In football, every time you take the field, there's a chance for a career-ending injury. So you're gambling that. And supposedly the Ravens offered more. They had talks with the Eagles. This is about Schuster. And he decided, you know, he's spinning it this way. I stay because I love Pittsburgh, and I didn't want to leave Pittsburgh. Well, he didn't have an offer probably that floated his boat. So he might have had offers that were a little bit more, and he decided to stay with the familiar. Right. Now, Golladay, I believe, is a better wide receiver than Schuster, more explosive. And I will tell you this. I don't know if you guys have thought about this a lot. You know, we keep talking about the Giants. It's kind of a slow burn sort of build. If they got Golladay, if they end up signing Golladay today, I'm sorry. Tell me the offense in their division that's even close to better than that. They've got every weapon you could possibly have. The only thing you worry about, they don't have a great offensive line.
Well, that's
but
a
they've
big
got
deal.
Everything. They've got four tight ends. They've got Evan Ingram. They've got Shepard. They've got Galladay. They've got one of the best running backs in the world coming back in Saquon Barkley, and Daniel Jones entering his third year. I'm sorry. That's pretty explosive. They could actually take a giant leap if they get a guy like Kenny Galladay.
No, but not if you don't correct the offensive line and don't give your quarterback time to throw. Now, I think that he's athletic enough where he can buy some time, so I don't think you need, like, the greatest offensive line in the history of football. And we've seen some quarterbacks, you know, actually be able to perform. Before Burrow's got hurt, that was a really bad offensive line in Cincinnati, and he's put up some big numbers. Unfortunately, the bad offensive line ended up getting him hurt for the year. So you need to be able to produce some protection there. But I'm with you. I mean, the Cowboys are very good, too. They've got a good offense, for sure. But, yeah, now you're starting to build towards something. But you got to protect the quarterback. You got to spend some money on that offensive line. Otherwise, you're not really going to get as much as you can.
But with all those weapons, you're not going to need as much time. And you could play action to give yourself protection as well. Just the thought of handing off to Barkley slows down the offensive line, and you could actually throw a quick pass. So I would love their offense. And their defense is slowly getting better as well. So not a bad job if they could get this guy. And I think if they don't get this guy, it's about what the guy's about rather than the money, because they know exactly what they could spend. He supposedly wants over $18 million a year. Not going to happen. Not in this market. If any team gave him $18 million a year, congratulations, good luck. You got yourself a great wide receiver. But if Schuster gets eight, I mean, can Galladay really expect to get much more than 12?
No.
Well,
I wouldn't think so.
It's a couple. They're interesting guys to look at because Galladay is coming off a season in which he barely played. But the two before that, he had 1,100 yards each year. Juju is sort of complicated because the Steelers were so bad, and Juju really hasn't been great for 2 years.
Yep.
It's two straight years. This year was pretty good, but they were a bad team. He played the whole season. He had 831 yards. 9 touchdowns. So, very good, no doubt. But the year before that, 552. His incredible breakout year was all the way back in 2018 now.
So yeah, that's why he wants to build up his numbers. Remember, they were 11-0, but you're right, it kind of completely collapsed on them. That they feel like bringing back Roethlisberger freed up some money because of reworking his contract. Roethlisberger stays healthy. Pittsburgh can be, you know, an 11-12 win team, and he can maybe get back to 1,000 yards and then get the big payday.
And, I mean, and Pittsburgh had a great record this year. There was just something about them offensively that did not seem the same.
Well,
maybe it was just
him. Like crazy, too. Yeah, remember that game against Washington? You saw every play. I mean, how many drop passes in that game?
Yeah, when they got bad, it turned very, very quickly. I'd be curious to see his stats first when they were 11-0 and then afterwards. And how different he is as a player, you know, post Antonio Brown and post Le'Veon Bell, and that offense just not being what it was when he was a rookie and second-year player.
All right, now we should check in on the Deshaun Watson situation. What's happening now is there are 7 women that have joined the civil suit. So we had heard yesterday it could be 9. It's up to 7. Started at 1, went to 3, then now 7. Adam Schefter was on DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg this morning and gave the latest on the Watson situation.
The NFL has opened an investigation to see whether there are any violations of the personal conduct policy. There was a third civil lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson. The Houston attorney told ESPN the police have reached out. But it's interesting because there also have been no criminal charges. And I think that we have Deshaun Watson saying he's never treated women with anything other than the utmost respect. We have Deshaun Watson on a social media post saying that the attorney asked him for a 6-figure settlement before going public on all of this. There's a lot here, and unfortunately, we've got 2 different versions of the story. And so I'll leave it to the NFL and authorities to hash it out and figure out what's right and wrong and who did what and who didn't do what.
You know, a lot of people, including Watson, I haven't even thrown this past you people. I wanted to see what you thought. A lot of people are using that as some kind of a scarlet letter against the lawyer and the accuser that they had asked for a money settlement first. Well, since it's not a criminal complaint but a civil suit, you're going for the money anyway. So rather than put your client through that, if you could get her money for her suffering, I don't think that means that it's just a shakedown. It does. I don't think that definitely pushes the needle one way or the other. A good lawyer who doesn't want to put his client through that sort of ordeal says to Watson, I don't know, give me $200,000 and this goes away. Does that mean that the woman isn't telling the truth? I don't think it means that. Do you guys say that no. takes anything away?
It's an interesting point, Michael. It totally changes it that they weren't – it's not like they were looking for criminal charges and then decided to do this or went for a settlement to avoid the criminal charges. You're right. It's all about – ultimately, this is all about them getting paid. So you're right. That doesn't really nullify anything that they went for a settlement first.
And there is a lot of trauma that comes from a trial, especially a high-profile trial. I think you had mentioned it yesterday, Peter, how – you know, this can escalate into a real high-profile deal. And, you know, now if they were to actually have a trial, you know, you're talking about these women having to be in front of a camera, having to deal with going through the press and all that, which might make it very traumatic for them to have to do that. So you can kind of understand going in that direction. It doesn't automatically mean it's just a money grab, knowing that if they went to trial – they wouldn't be able to get a conviction. It's right. just that there's a lot to have to go through that, and maybe they're just not prepared to do it.
There's also a sort of, you know, among the many kind of gross parts of this story, there's also like a bit of a conversation to be had at some point about what he did, what he's accused of, which things would be criminal and which would be gross but not criminal.
Right.
And they know they couldn't try to put him in jail for what he did, but they do want to have him pay.
Well, I mean, there was never a criminal complaint. I mean, if there was a criminal complaint and they went to the Houston Police Department, maybe it is something that would put him in jail. But now that this has come out, there could be an investigation by the police. And they said they will not comment on it because nobody has been charged. But they could be investigating this right now. The reason there wasn't a criminal charge, the woman never complained.
Right. And on top of all that, the NFL is going to do their own investigation. And they could still suspend him for a significant period of time, depending on what exactly they find. So are you going to go and give a bunch of first-round picks to a player that may not be available to you for maybe the first season?
Now, the team I think that has the best package to send to Houston for Watson would be the Jets. But there seems to be a gathering storm that they might stay with Darnold. So former Darnold teammate at USC, Michael Pittman Jr., spoke about Sam Darnold and how he believes in him. Listen to this.
I have nothing but good things to say about Sam. I've seen Sam do some of the craziest, make the most crazy plays. Just versus us in Lucas Oil, he broke like three tackles and threw a touchdown. Like, I was like, how is this guy not one of the best quarterbacks like in the NFL right now? I mean, I think that he has that caliber. I'm not a GM. Like, I'm not an NFL coach, so I don't know what is going to happen. But I know that he is going to find his way, whether it's with the Jets or whether it's somewhere else.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see if the Jets do stay with Sam Darnold. Do they trade that second pick? Because there's going to be somebody out there that wants Zach Wilson. Or do they keep it and take the tight end that everybody says is the greatest thing since sliced bread?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a real, real tough call. Now, they did sign the free agent wide receiver Keelan Cole to a one-year deal. And you think to yourself, well, one-year deal, what does that mean? Well, Smith-Schuster just got signed to a one-year deal. And Adam Schefter was on with DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, as we mentioned earlier. And he talked about Cole, who the Jets got, and said, a lot of teams wanted this guy.
You'd be amazed at how much interest he generated and how many teams wanted that guy. I mean, there were a lot of teams after Keelan Cole, a lot. And the deal came in where it did, $5.5 million. So ultimately, money sells how interested the team is or isn't. I'm just telling you that he generated a lot of interest and was in demand. And I think the Jets are pretty fortunate to get a guy like that who is pretty talented to play and help them this year.
It's funny, you know, it doesn't seem like the Jets have made the move that, you know, you kind of gasp at that, wow, that's unbelievable. But everybody I talk to say that the Jets are doing good work. Yeah. They're being very diligent and they're being very vigilant and they're doing what they have to do and they're doing it in a workmanlike manner. No big splash, but they're making their team better.
Yeah, I just don't know what big splash there was going to be for this team. Now you could say, well, Schuster, look, Juju is a name, right? And I did look at it, Peter. His stats were fairly consistent the entire way. Matter of fact, he had a touchdown in three of the last four games of the season. So. He didn't seem to be affected either way. He looked like he was the same player throughout. So he's a very consistent. In a normal year, this is a guy that's going to be able to get you 1,000 yards and 8, 9, 10 touchdowns. So that's a pretty high-profile wide receiver. But he wasn't going to come to the Jets if he was going to sign a one-year deal. Well, how does that benefit Juju, right?
Right.
Stay
right
in Pittsburgh. So Juju, I don't think, was even going to go. If he was going to go anywhere, he was going to probably go to Baltimore. So was there anybody, any free agent, Michael, of all the guys that have been gobbled up, of all the guys available, who was going to move the needle enough to make you think this Jets team is going to finish anywhere but in fourth place in the division?
The offensive lineman that they let it get away. If they had gone after Thuney, that I think that would have been a big deal.
All right, but still, he had a choice between the Jets in a rebuild or to a team that can win a Super Bowl.
And we don't even know if the Jets are interested in him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, right. They know. See, that's the thing. We can go and we can play sound from everybody under the moon. Everybody's opinion, I guess, has value to forward our own opinion. But it really, Joe Douglas is the only opinion that matters. How does he feel about the player? How does he feel about Sam Darnold? Doesn't matter what Keyshawn thinks. Doesn't matter what any former teammate, USC or otherwise, has to say. And that's what we don't know. How do you feel about these players? Even the guys, Michael, that they say the Jets were after, those are just opinions from people in the media.
Right.
Joe Douglas doesn't issue a list of all the people they're going after to the media. You're just trying to make an educated opinion. But really, ultimately, how does Joe Douglas feel about these available players? And the fact is they brought in some good players, young players, that they think that they can maybe build around.
We got a lot of stuff to do today. We got to talk about the Knicks' nail-biter yesterday over Orlando, which
was
amazing. A big blow for the Mets. The Yankees have already had their big blow losing Zach Britton. I think the Mets is more serious because to lose a starter when you're really short on starters, losing Carrasco for 6 to 8 weeks because of a hamstring tear, that's gigantic. It really is gigantic. We have the second time that you could vote now on Drop Madness at 4:20. And there's the music that means so much. And thanks to New York Yankee Throwbacks, Peter, I have tweeted out the opening of the first game broadcast on Yes, which happened on this date in 2002. So you could take a look, and when you get back, you could tell me if, in fact, I'm in a different food chain now. 1-800-919-3776 is the number. Let's talk. Let's have some fun. We're ready to roll. We're only until 6:30 today because we have a big Ranger
on radio
game.
Too. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I think Yes would like us for another half hour if you want, Peter, if you want to stay there.
No. I'm going to watch the tournament and chill out, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so we're all set. We have our plans for the weekend. We have our plans for the rest of the day, and we expect you with us until 6:30. All right? You're on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
There seems to be a gathering storm that they might stay with Darnold. Former Darnold teammate at USC, Michael Pittman Jr., spoke about Sam Darnold.
I have nothing but good things to say about Sam. I was like, how is this guy not one of the best quarterbacks like in the NFL right now? I mean, I think that he has that caliber. He is going to find his way, whether it's with the Jets or whether it's somewhere else.
We can go and we can play sound from everybody under the moon. Everybody's opinion, I guess, has value to forward our own opinion. But it really, Joe Douglas is the only opinion that matters. How does he feel about the player? How does he feel about Sam Darnold? Doesn't matter what any former teammate, USC or otherwise, has to say. And that's what we don't know.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Don always makes me think. His words carry meaning for me. And sometimes I want to get to the bottom of them. The phrase is under the moon, under the sun. Don chose to go with under the moon. Why the moon and not the sun?
I don't know. It just came out wrong, I guess, but it still makes sense.
It doesn't mean it's wrong. I just want to know how your mind works.
Moon's up there, too. Maybe I got caught between over the moon and under the sun and just got confused.
Maybe you got caught between the moon and New York City.
Like I said, Arthur, that's a great movie and a great song by Christopher Cross.
Look at you. Just
see, I know things. I'm just listen, Michael. It's a miracle every day.
I don't want to believe that.
As we went to break, guys, I just saw another tweet reporting on the Busby presser.
Yep,
he supposedly talked to 20 women. So it's wild. This is absolutely crazy.
It's not great. It is not great. Don't know how many of you watched the Knicks game yesterday. Knicks and the Magic. It was not pretty basketball at all. Both teams somewhat shorthanded. It was a game of runs. The Magic were trailing by 16 points toward the end of the third quarter, and they just turned it on, and they were leading at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was unbelievable. This was a game that would have hurt the Knicks to lose. And they won. Wasn't pretty. You don't put it in the time capsule, but they won. Reggie Bullock turned the ball over when the Knicks are up by one. Inexcusable. Jump ball. He jumped too early on the jump ball and lost that. And then the Magic had the ball with about 15 seconds left, and they could have won the game. And then Bullock steals the ball from Fournier, and that's it. That's the game. And the thing that you like about this Knicks team, they reacted as if they just won the NBA Finals. And I don't look at that and say, oh, amateurish. No, I love it. This team really enjoys playing the game. They enjoy each other's company. They enjoy each other as teammates. And they want to win every single game. I think that's great. They don't phone it in. They never phone it in. They could have easily given up after the Magic made those runs. But that would have been a very tough loss coming after the two losses they just had against the Nets and the Sixers, but they persevered and won. And they might have gotten a look at this kid, a good look firsthand at Fournier, because that's the type of player they need. Guy who could drain some threes. Guy who could be available. So just keep your eye out for Evan Fournier. He can play a little bit. He's the one who turned it over at the end. But the Knicks win. It's amazing the season that Julius Randle is having. You know, he didn't have a great shot yesterday, but he still scored his points, put up another triple-double. And I think the reason they won the game is that Frank Ntilikina, who had missed his last 15 shots from the floor, ended up hitting two straight threes and then scored a more conventional three-point play with a bucket and a foul. And this is a guy who couldn't score at all. So he was forced into duty because of the fact the Knicks don't have any point guards. And he plays great defense, and he finally hit some open shots. And the Knicks got a win. That could have gotten away, because these are the type of games they can get away. They're not going to beat every single under 500 team. They're not. This could have been one of those games where they would not have won. But they did, because they were tough, they were gritty, and they had determination, right, and they won. And I like that kind of win. It's not a great win in terms of stylistic points at all, Don, but it's a win, it's a win, it's a win, and they're back to 500. And now, on last night was March 18th. On March 18th, they matched their win total from all of last year.
Right, and that's why I think, Michael, we got to stop with the whole, that's a game they would have lost last year. We've established the fact they're much better than they were last year. So now that's a game you can't lose because it's this year and you're better than that. Now, they were shorthanded, granted, but it becomes a mathematics game, right, of just having enough wins to make sure that you get one of those top 10 spots and you're not on the outside looking in. So nobody's going to look back and go, well, give them the Orlando win because they were shorthanded. You got to get it.
Yep.
And if they had lost that game, Michael, yeah, there'd be some excuses why they lost it, but it still would have been four of the first five games coming out of the break. So eventually the losses start to pile up, but you got to make sure you can solidify a playoff spot here. So get the wins when you can, because yep, this is, to me, a playoff team.
At least they should be in the play-in.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Because I when they get there, I think they could win it and be that eight seed and move on. But I think we're beyond that's a game they would have lost. They've established, just by their record right now, how quickly they've gotten there in so few games compared to last year, that this isn't the 1920 Knicks. This 2021 team is better.
The 1920 Knicks didn't exist. Well, NBA started in 1947.
The 19-20.
Oh,
meaning the 2019-2020 team.
See, I didn't know what you did. Now I do see. Now I understand.
Mm. Mm.
That was more on you than me.
Really?
Yeah. Because, A, we know they didn't exist in 1920, and, B, how would that be relevant to the conversation?
True. Good. I was just trying to catch you, and I couldn't. Andrew Marchand just tweeted out a very controversial tweet, especially when it comes to Andrew Gunling. Did you see this tweet?
No.
Marshan writes, it's not complicated. I've had enough of Lilly from AT&T. Oh,
no, because I've had it.
Because Lilly was, was somebody that Andrew looked up to. And, you know, he and his wife agreed that, you know, Lilly could come between them.
Not anymore.
And I think Andrew's lost interest, as has Marchand. Accurate or not, Andrew?
What happened?
She's too mainstream now. I felt like it was more special when it was kind of just my thing. But I don't know. The magic is gone.
Hey, wow. Can I make just a critique? And it's not a physical critique.
Okay.
Way, way over the top of the makeup.
Well, that is
look
a physical.
At you. That is a physical.
That is a physical.
No, I mean, that's just a decision. I'm not. I am not going after her like physically.
But you're going after.
I'm just saying. I think she's wearing too much makeup. That's cosmetically, I guess, is the more technical term.
This is. I think this is a lead story, Peter, on ENN.
It might be. I have a lot of stuff
wrong,
about
Andrew.
Wow.
Oh, you just got to leave me floating there by myself here.
Andrew has no problem with the makeup. He's just he's tired of the overexposure, I think is what he's saying.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
But I know what he's saying. He used to like the special uniqueness of their relationship. Only Andrew knew about Lilly. Now Lily's there all the time.
Believe me, Andrew was not the only one.
Yeah, I've heard it from other people, too.
That's sad. I mean, when you lose Marchand, it's like the old days when you lose Cronkite. Not good. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We spoke about this earlier yesterday. After we were off the air, it came down that Carlos Carrasco, who was a big acquisition for the Mets in the Lindor deal from Cleveland, is out for 6 to 8 weeks with a torn hamstring. So he had been shut down earlier in the spring because of his elbow, then actually threw against hitters, and then after he was done, he jogged in the outfield and, you know, tore his hamstring. 6 to 8 weeks, could be longer. So if you want to look at any negatives with the Mets, the first three starters are very good. I watched Taijuan Walker today pitch very, very well against the Cardinals. Stroman's had a very good spring, and we know who Jacob deGrom is, but your four and five starters are huge. Huge question marks. It's going to have to come from Lucchesi, Yamamoto, or Peterson. Now, because you've lost Carrasco, I think Peterson has to be one of the guys. So let's give him the fourth spot. Then you have to look at the fifth spot and go, Lucchesi or Yamamoto, are you scaring a team in the National League when you're running those guys out there? Maybe two of those guys pitching a three-game set. And the Met bullpen, although it's improved, is not at the level where you feel great about. And the Mets have talked a lot about using an opener this year because Lucchesi, I was checking out his stats the other day, third time through the order, he has a lot of trouble. That's when you use an opener with a pitcher like that. You have an opener come in, get the first three batters, and then you have Lucchesi come in, and he pitches the next time. And then the third time through, he's giving you a lot of length, and he doesn't have to face the top of the order three times. He only has to face them two times. But then the problem is this, Don. If you're the Mets, who's your opener? You need an opener that's going to come in and get outs. You're not going to use Diaz as your opener.
No.
Betances has not been reliable enough to be used as an opener. Same thing with Familia. You have to. I guess your best case scenario would be Miguel Castro, who's pitched very, very well this year in spring training, but he also walks too many guys to be an opener. So I don't know if the Mets really have the perfect opener.
No. But that doesn't mean they have to have that decision right away. They can audition that early. The idea is to survive the first month and a half of the season, right? Because then you could get Carrasco back, hopefully, because we're still, 10 days away from opening day, more than that, right? So almost 2 weeks away. So if he can come back in 6 weeks, then maybe he comes back a month in, 5 weeks into the season. Then in June, hopefully, you get Syndergaard back. So it's just about surviving those first maybe 6-7 weeks of the season, and then these guys can come back and be a part of the rotation. Lucchesi's been very good in the spring, so I might be comfortable having, you know, him be a starter. But you can find out. You've got some time here to figure out how you're going to handle that fifth starter spot. You're not going to need it right away, right? And then you'll just try to piece it together. This team should be able to score some runs, unlike years past. And if the bullpen ends up being better, and the hope is that they will be, I think they could survive this. I don't think it's the end of the world.
No,
there's a lot of teams that compete that have questions at the four or five starters.
Yeah, but it hurts.
There's no question.
I mean, because this guy was supposed to be your third starter.
No, listen, there's no question.
Some thought even the second starter.
And if it was, well, that was, yeah, but with Syndergaard out, sure, I guess there was that potential. But I don't, maybe I'm just trying to be glass half full, but it's not like they're done for the year. Now, the Mets have been known to get off to these slow starts and bury themselves where it doesn't matter, but if they could survive the first month, you know, guys are coming. And you're going to get two starters possibly back, and Syndergaard is somebody I think could be back hopefully by June. So I think they can survive this. They're going to score some runs, no? And they should be able to.
I mean, this isn't going to sink them, but it does hurt. I mean, they'll survive it. Absolutely. They can out-hit a lot of pitching problems.
Well, the reason you're concerned about it, because the Pecota aside, I think they're going to be competing with three other teams for this division.
And like, a lot of people think it could be
77% chance they're winning the division. I don't have them as a 95-96 win team. But if that were the case, Michael, if they were the Yankees, you wouldn't care about it because you don't have any competition. This team's got tons of competition. Braves, Nationals, Phillies. The Marlins are no pushover either. So, yeah, it's a concern, but I don't think it's season-ending by any stretch.
No. I mean, a hamstring. But remember, that could be 6 to 8 weeks before he starts to throw again. You can't throw with a bad hamstring. So, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Frank in Long Island. What's up, Frankie?
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So I wanted to comment on going back to an old Tales from the Crypt, explaining like your real, I don't want to call it weird, but your infatuation with the Nets.
Mm-hmm. Explain it to me.
I believe the story went something along the lines of, there was an event at Madison Square Garden, and you went for a trophy ceremony, I believe, and you weren't supposed to be there or something.
Oh, the banner raising for the Rangers.
Oh, yeah, the banner raising, that's it.
Yep. Yeah. And someone approached you, and you said that you're an event guy.
It was Raceman. You know,
I think your boss.
It was Raceman, and he wrote it, and I got in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. So, in a way, the Nets are like just one big event, and I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, but this is sort of like, as Don would say, an entertain me clowns kind of thing. And I don't think it's bad to have like enjoyment, but it's just like when you go to a little sort of, I don't know if this is radio appropriate, like an erotic place with it. Just gets a little
yeah,
weird.
It's odd.
It's a great point.
Frank, you made great points. I mean, I do like them because they're great and they are a show and I love to watch them. I really do.
But my irritation with the whole thing
is the nudity.
Obviously. But Andrew was not here for this conversation the other day to respond. But Andrew, how many times have we come in to the studio after watching a great game the day before and Michael just basically embarrassing us for being excited about sports?
Yeah.
How many times?
Countless numbers.
The gold medal game, and that's the one I brought up the other day, when Parisi scored the game-tying goal, and then Crosby had the golden goal. And we loved that game. And then Michael gave the whole line that he always gives, commercialism wrapped in a flag.
Yeah.
He just completely just threw cold water on everything.
Sure.
And now he's Mr. Naked Excited for the Nets. This is completely hypocritical.
I'm getting ready to strip down tonight. The Nets are on Yes Again.
The nudes are back.
Respond, because he didn't get a chance to respond the other day.
No, you're right. It's happened countless number of times. I believe the sound that Michael makes when we do that, he does that kind of wee, right, Michael? Isn't that kind of
Would you like me to do it? Would you like me to do it?
Wee, wee.
And then takes great pleasure when we fall off the cliff and our team loses and then we're upset, and he takes great glee in it, which can't happen here because it won't be the same because he's totally on board. But if all of a sudden the Nets choke and lose it away, he won't take ownership with it and be upset about it. He'll just he'll kill him and move on. So it's just really just irritating.
It's hard to debate me, is what you're saying. It's hard to debate me. I don't give you room.
You're a bad guy. That's what they're saying again.
You know what? I'll accept it. I'm fine with it. If that's what you think I am, I don't think I think that deep down you guys know how tremendous a person I am.
But it's
and
this
you
is
just
not
use that as a crutch.
But there is hypocrisy in it. I mean, Peter, how many big Washington win? We're in our show meeting, and then under his breath, or even just out loud, I'm going to be, wee, look at Peter.
Do you remember the joy? Do you remember, Don, the level of joy he had when I picked Washington, I think, against the Jets a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't believe that I was so dumb to believe in my own team. I mean, he relished it. He loved it. You're right. It's not bad guy, but it's bad fan. It's guy who doesn't understand the plight of being a fan. He's a professional. Right. He's not a fan.
So I didn't understand that. Like in 1976, when the Yankees got swept by the Reds, and I was in tears as a 15-year-old. I didn't understand it.
Oh no, you understood then. You did.
But the whole "what's in it for me" when they won in 77.
That's right. Ken Landro caught the final out. I said, "That's it."
Plus, I can't ignore the fact, and it's been mentioned on Twitter by people, that this is a very Yes related.
What does that mean? It is not Yes related.
How dare you?
It's an outrage that people think that. Am I going crazy over NYCFC? I am a big Yes boy.
That'd be asking a lot, Michael. I mean, I don't think you should all of a sudden be into a sport that you don't care about. But basketball's in your soul. It's close to baseball. Basketball's your clear number two.
That's
might even be
true.
Your
you
1A.
You know that. You have no idea.
Come on, Michael. I know you better than you know yourself.
No, I know
you covered basketball back in the day. You covered the Nets back in the day.
You know what I think I'm going to do later tonight?
Back when you did Jersey.
When you're nude watching the game.
Yeah, I am going to take a picture where you'll not be able to see anything terrible, but you will see that I will be without clothes watching the Nets.
I got to tell you, that would – we know you love a thirst trap. You've
right.
talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
This would set the internet on fire.
But one of the guys would really have to – first of all, Kyrie would have to play and be Kyrie, and Harden would have to be Harden, and then you'll see what you want to see.
Well, depending on how this goes, you
Michael
might be Harden.
I think Michael would
find
a lot of holes in this Nets team if they were on SNY.
You're an insult. You really are.
No, you know what, Don? I got to tell you, that was a bad guy move by you. That was low. And I don't believe it. I believe Michael's bandwagon, and he's enjoying greatness. But I don't think this is a Yes thing. I don't. Wow.
The fact that I'm done with
Michael.
Him.
Michael, maybe this should make you revisit who you think should call a half inning of the game on Wednesday.
A lot of great things have happened in sports, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Locally,
a lot of great things outside
locally?
Of Yankeeville. A lot of great games have been played in the 20 years we've been working together.
Wait! I will say I'm going to just throw something out here right now. This is, with the exception of a great Yankees team, and it may compete with them too. This is the most talented of collection of players since you guys have been on the air.
What? The Yankees?
No.
The Nets.
The Nets right now.
Well, the Nets were pretty good. They went to two finals.
But this collection of talent is more exciting.
Yeah, I agree. You know what else I agree about? It's time.
Oh, yeah.
For Drop Madness.
Love my job on days like today, the first day of the NCAA tournament. The second day of Drop Madness on the Michael K Show, which is brought to you by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. And you guys will be happy to know that after I ate my delicious, delicious jalapeno popper chicken sandwich yesterday and washed it down. Anthony, what was the name of the beverage I washed it down with?
Oh, this is the Frosty Chino.
After that, I still lost a pound from yesterday to today. How about that?
Nah, the pound comes the next day.
No, I did some work that I feel really, I think I know where the pound went. Let's start out in the K region, the number two seed.
But I'm a bad teammate. Both of you take a walk. We'll be back. No music out.
This is big, guys, because it's got a feisty. I love that drop. I think it could go a long way. But, guys, remember the Hampton Pirates, the 15 seed?
Yes.
This is a Hampton-like 15.
It's called Buttercloth.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I think you're wrong.
People love Buttercloth. I hear about Buttercloth.
You know what? They don't love it enough. It's not making it out today.
Well,
I think there's a 15-2 matchup that a 15 is going to win today. And I'll tell you when you read it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Although I disagree. We'll see. The 7 seed in the K region.
Please stay safe, everybody. Stay indoors. Be very wash handy. That was right in the throes of the pandemic.
A master wordsmith you are.
As opposed to now?
up against the 10 seed.
In Game 7 of the 2016 World Series.
Oh.
That's a good matchup.
I'm voting for that.
You know, Michael crushed this entire region. Those were four great drops. The 2, yeah. the 15, the 7, and the 10. Beautiful. Let's go to the Peter region, the 2 seed. Tom Thibodeau up against the very popular, the Spark Plug 15 seed. Then you have the 7 seed.
According to Adam Schefter, that is.
Schefter?
Against the 10 seed. The Kentucky Derbys. I'm a hell of a broadcaster.
You're the best I heard. I heard you were the best.
Now, I've said it before. Yeah. Edward R. Murrow in the flesh. In the Don region, one of the best drops we've seen in recent years, the 2 seed.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Because everybody.
That's sad that that still has to live.
You know what it is? It's the confidence that I love about Donnett.
Yeah, Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs. Against the 15 seed.
God, I had a soft salami over at Cats. It's to die for.
There's the 15 that wins right there. There's the 15 that knocks off a deuce.
I don't think Tay Diggs. I think Don's confidence in Tay Diggs. I think that lives on.
Soft salami has a chance to win the whole darn thing.
You know what they say about a soft salami. No. Let's go to the 7 seed in the Don region.
There, next time, you might do a better job.
Up against the 10 seed.
Who are you taking out?
How does that lose?
How is it a 10 seed?
You know what? I've heard from other people that they don't love who you're taking out.
That means Ballard texted.
That's right. Who you're taking out is such a context drop for me. Like, you play it alone, I don't laugh. However, we're in the middle of doing a list, and I just randomly start hearing, who are you taking out?
But I think the history behind a drop is as important as
How
it makes you feel at that moment.
I'll tell you what. I think this is going to be more competitive than you guys think. Let's go to the nether region where you have the 2 seed.
Let your wings fly. Let you fly.
Up against my gorgeous, loving animal, the 15 seed.
No way Bear beats Griffin.
That's a forever drop. We that bark has become the bear sounder of all time.
You know, in mythology, a griffin can kill a bear.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I would imagine the bear is one of the more dominant mythological figures.
A griffin is just an amazing creature.
Well, good news. There's another griffin sighting at the 7 seed.
Nobody's going to win.
Up against the 10 seed.
Because Michael gets on me, thinks I'm too old to shovel.
You are.
Beautiful work from
that's
Harry.
That's got my vote.
TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Vote now. Vote early. Get her done. It's all brought to you by our friends at Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you.
So yesterday, Jody had the jalapeno popper salad.
I had that too. I had it
and
for dinner.
She texted me while I was on the air. I didn't read it yesterday. 2 thumbs up on the jalapeno salad. She loved it.
This is the last thing I'm going to say because I don't have a personal endorsement from Wendy's, and as much as I love the station and want, you know, to do great business with Wendy's, it comes at a price at a certain point. I'll just say this: yesterday I had the jalapeno popper sandwich, the jalapeno popper salad, and the delicious Frosty Chino. Oh, this is the Frosty Chino! I also had their chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, yeah, I had that today.
Wendy's is one of the greatest restaurants of all time. Every item was perfect.
So you're not saying it's a fast food joint. You're saying it's a restaurant.
No. Wow. Tavern on the Green, Morton's, Ruth's Chris.
Del Frisco,
Jacob's Pickles, all our favorites. Wendy's. It was that damn good.
That could be their new slogan.
I still have the chili in the fridge.
Oh, yeah, I got 2 of them. I can't wait.
Then it's not that chili, is it?
No, it's in the fridge. I didn't leave it in the oven.
Yeah. The Michael K. Show.
You know the feeling I get from eating Wendy's? Like, you don't really feel like you're cheating on your diet, that's not like it's fast food. It's the same feeling, Peter, that we have when we have the Sun Chip. And we feel like we can have a few more because it's a Sun Chip.
You know what? The Sun Chip, one of God's greatest creations, the most genius thing the people at Sun Chips, Mr. and Mrs. Sun Chip, came up with, was when they decided to put on the package 30% less fat. But it's relative to other really fattening chips.
Right.
But when you read that 30% less, you go, this is healthy.
Try the
chili. You
know,
they have a son named Chip.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
They do?
The Sun Chips, yes. Chip Sun Chip.
I used to, when I worked at a daycare center, I would always like obviously be rushing to be late for the pre-show, the pre-job meeting. And I would stop at the grocery store and I'd get a half pound of tuna salad and a bag of Sun Chips. I tell you what. Wow, living. What a delight.
That's living. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Vote! So this is the day that March Madness and Drop Madness go up against each other. Wow. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Rutgers plays tonight. Syracuse plays tonight too, right, Andrew?
They do. 9:50, I believe.
Is that a nude game for you?
You know what? Why not? I wasn't sure they'd be in the tournament, so yeah, let's live it up. Let's go nude for it.
You
the
see?
Only, the only question when it comes to Syracuse, Michael, is who are you going to pick? You know what I mean?
Is that a shot at Boeheim?
No.
Can you tell me for a fact that you don't pick your nose? Both of you.
I can tell you for a fact I do pick my nose.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it on the sideline of a televised basketball game.
But Andrew has told me that he embraces it and makes light of it. Right, Andrew?
Yeah. I think there was a game at Cameron Indoor where one of the fans had like a giant blow-up head of Boeheim doing it. And so when he walked by, he saw it and he kind of like pretended to then pick his nose, making fun of the sign. So he does play along.
Gotta love the man.
The Michael K. Show.
If Griffin loses, everyone who voted against him should die.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Now, that's not the feelings of Don. Don was reading a tweet.
Yes, so thank you for straightening that out.
You know what? Yeah. That's very nice of you, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, now he says enough things that get him into trouble. He doesn't need to have false accusations.
Now, I have not felt like today has been what I would describe as March Madness. It's been more like, you know, kookiness. It's not full madness. There's no
now
bands.
March kookiness doesn't really sell.
No, and there's no bands. There's no fans. I filled out one bracket in 10 seconds. My friends who do one every year since we were in college didn't even do it this year. So I can't say I'm feeling it the same way as usual. But I will tell you right now that this Oral Roberts-Ohio State game just went to overtime. Pretty thrilling end there in regulation.
And that's
Ian Eagle with a tremendous
15
call.
And a 2, right?
That's right.
64-64, so we'll keep you abreast of what's going on. Oral Roberts against Ohio State. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. You know those people. Join 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, for their annual wedding band event now through Sunday, March 21st. Enjoy 20% off all wedding bands for locations. And to make an appointment, visit 2bylondon.com. We have not heard any further word about Kenny Golladay, the free agent wide receiver, most recently with the Lions, looking for a deal over $18 million a year. I don't think the market for wide receivers will actually bear that. Giants have brought him in. He was there last night. He was there today. I would assume that he's gone now. But they spoke with him. They did a physical. And if the physical went well and they liked what they heard when they spoke with him, and if they let him get out of the facility without signing, I would say that he's probably not happy with the money that they offered. And you know, the Giants could play this tough right now. Why would you give him anywhere close to what he wants when that's not the market for a wide receiver?
Right.
Also, it does scream out. Joe Judge probably knows Matt Patricia very well, and the word is that Golladay and Patricia did not like the sight of each other. So the fact that they're even talking would tell you, you know, Judge, I give him credit, wants to find out for himself.
Yeah, exactly, because first of all, there were two injuries that held him out of 11 games last year, so that's something they got to check out physically. And apparently he had a problem with Patricia. There was some question on whether he was healthy to play and just opted not to play. And these are things you need to find out. You're inking a guy to big money, maybe long term. You want to make sure that these problems are not something that's going to carry over.
And now another,
go ahead, Michael.
Another problem that's out there right now is the situation with Deshaun Watson, which I think has thrown everything into flux. The attorney Busby had a press conference. There are now 12 women that are accusing Deshaun Watson of improper conduct. Busby said that he is cooperating with the Houston Police Department, so it could become a criminal case as well, and cooperating with the NFL. And this has to be the worst nightmare for Watson. Now, obviously, it means nothing if he actually did this stuff to the women, then he deserves a nightmare. But for a while there, he was in complete control of the situation. I'm not playing for the Texans. I demand to be traded. That's all there is to it. Now this has happened. Who's going to trade for him with this hanging over his head? I'd like to see the team that would even try. And would even the Texans take him back? Or are the Texans just trying to void the contract?
Well, see that's an interesting aspect, because does this violate a moral clause where they can get out from under financially and then just release him?
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Then, See, that's when it becomes interesting, right? Because nobody is going to give up the draft capital and the package to get him while he's under this investigation. But if these allegations turn out to be true, he's got to spend a ton of money with these civil suits, doesn't do any prison time. Even if he gets suspended and that contract is voided and you can pick him up for nothing, the teams will line up. Absolutely line up to get him. It's just, are you going to spend 3 first-round picks to find out if he's guilty or not?
Now, we said there's going to be 12 lawsuits. There's 7 right now. And according to a story on ESPN.com, each one depicts a pattern of sexual assault against massage therapists in the Houston area. 6 of the lawsuits allege these were one-time encounters with Watson. One woman alleges she was sexually assaulted by Watson on multiple occasions. That lawsuit says the first massage was booked through the spa where the anesthetician worked. I think that's how you pronounce it with the name. The 6 other lawsuits allege Watson first inquired about the massage through Instagram direct messages. 3 of the 4 lawsuits filed Thursday accuse him of inappropriate contact. The 4th said he forcibly tried to kiss a woman. The 4th lawsuit reads, Watson's behavior is part of a disturbing pattern of preying on vulnerable women. Every one of the women that have filed the lawsuits have done so anonymously. Many of them allege they were intimidated by his physical stature and his status as an NFL quarterback. Now, Watson's agent, David Mulligetta, posted on Twitter today, sexual assault is real. Victims should be heard. Offenders prosecuted. Individuals fabricate stories in pursuit of financial gain often. Their victims should be heard. And those offenders also prosecuted. I simply hope we keep the same energy with the truth. And that's actually
very well said.
That's very well said, because every single person has to be heard. You can't just dismiss it and say, well, it's some ruse for money. But we don't know in this world. I mean, there are a lot of people that aren't great people in this world. So you make an accusation, and as I said earlier, this country is turning into guilty until proven innocent. There are a lot of people out there that within the sound of our voice that you think now Watson's guilty. And that's unfair. We have no idea. Now, you can't say that the women are trying a money grab. That's unfair, too. They deserve to be heard. But just because they accused it doesn't mean that he automatically did it. And we really have to be careful about that. That's why we haven't tiptoed around this subject, but it has to be handled delicately, because I think it's unfair to both sides. Oh. To come down on one side or the other. The accusers must be heard.
Absolutely. But unfortunately,
Watson has to be heard too.
Unfortunately, from a football perspective, the clock's ticking.
Yes.
Because there probably will not be any resolution by the draft. So there are teams interested in him. Can you afford to make a deal when there's so much up in the air? And the answer is obviously no, you can't. So this will play itself out, Michael, but it may play itself out. It might take a year.
I don't know what happens to him then. I mean, he said he wouldn't play for the Texans. So If he continues to say he's not going to play for the Texans, I don't know if there's a team out there that are going to take a chance with the amount of capital that you have to give up to get a player of his talent level. Would the, let's just talk Jets for a moment because they're supposedly in the conversation. Are they giving up Sam Darnold and 3 first-round draft picks for a guy that might not take the field for them?
No.
I just can't see them doing that.
And
all
a guy
of a sudden,
who,
Sam Darnold doesn't seem like such a bad deal.
Right, and for a guy whose character is now completely called into question.
Right.
That you're going to be handing the keys to your franchise team.
Because think about it. You know, obviously character matters. A lot of us believe that the reason they never offered a deal, at least a deal that was in competition with any other NFL team, for Robbie Anderson. And the feeling was, well, because of what Robbie Anderson had done and they weren't willing to commit long-term to him. So, obviously, character mattered there. So, wouldn't it matter here?
You would think so.
Now, quarterback, you know, this is as great as Robbie Anderson was last year in Carolina, you know, we're talking about a tremendous talent, one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. But still, you're also talking about the leader, the face of your franchise. And, now you can't do it.
Here is our very own Mike Tannenbaum. And he was asked, does all of this make it impossible to trade for Watson?
I don't think it'll be impossible. I think it's going to slow it down. If I was a team trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, first of all, these are allegations that have to be taken very seriously. The process has to run its course. There has to be an investigation. And when there's a league investigation, we got to keep this in mind, Max, which is the standard for a suspension by the NFL is lower than that of a criminal sort of charge.
And Mike, a civil suit, the burden of proof is lower than a criminal charge, right? So
that's right. And through the lens of another team, that's of huge consequence, because if you're going to give up 3+ number one draft choices and a good player and to have him suspended for any material time, that's obviously going to slow down the analysis. So until this situation is clarified, I would still be interested in trading for him. But obviously, I would want to get a lot more information and getting some sort of ruling from the league.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I take it slowly. Yeah, slowly until it's resolved. But, I mean, is Mike intimating that you could actually make this deal while this is just still hanging over everybody's head? I think it would be impossible to do that. It would be irresponsible to do that. Forget about the moral aspect of it. Just the team aspect of it. The amount of collateral that you're giving back to the Texans for a player that could be suspended for a year. Well, and you can say, well, if you get Deshaun Watson back. Well, Deshaun Watson, all of a sudden, if he's suspended for a year, is not the paragon of virtue that you want as the face of your franchise moving forward that you'd give up 3 first-round draft picks for. I think it complicates matters too. Until all of this is dropped and everything has been vetted, you can't make a deal for him.
See, I'd have to find out.
I think it stops it dead.
What's the maximum suspension? He'd be a first-time offender, right? I don't know if he'd get a full year. He might only be able to get 4 games. I'd have to see what the rules are as far as the Players Association. What's the maximum suspension? If it turns out they investigate, they find some truth to these allegations, and it may be, I don't think it could be more than 4. So let's just say that he's not going to lose them for the whole season. It sounds to me like Mike Tannenbaum is looking at it strictly as football. All right, I'm the Jets, say. I'm not looking necessarily to win this year. I'm looking long term. I'm trading for Watson, not just for this year, but for the next 3 years left on his contract after that. So if he's going to be suspended for the first 4 games, maybe I can live with that, all right? And even if he's found guilty in the civil suits, he won't do any time. He'll still be available to me. That's looking at it strictly from football and availability. But what I think Mike Tannenbaum's missing is, how is you as an organization going to be able to sell to your fan base, as good as he is, this is the face and leader of our team, when 12 women that might even pile up to be more, you know, were involved in a civil suit with this guy? And Can you move forward PR-wise and give all that draft capital and build your entire organization around somebody that might have a reputation that is completely damaged?
The draft capital is what matters, because NFL teams are ghouls when it comes to this. I mean, Antonio Brown has a civil suit, the same sort of civil suit hanging over his head, and he just celebrated a Super Bowl championship with Tampa Bay. That didn't stop them. It didn't stop New England. That sort of stuff, they'll play right through. That's how the NFL is.
It is different,
though. But
the
draft collateral, I don't know.
But Michael, totally different position, totally different situation. you know, potentially 20 different accusations as opposed to one thing that you're waiting to see play out. And keep in mind, Antonio Brown bounced around, didn't have a home for a while before he ended up in Tampa.
But there were people willing to take chances, though.
Oakland
took a chance. New England took a chance. Tampa Bay took a chance.
But the face of your franchise?
I get it. I get it. But you, I mean, the NFL signed a person that killed somebody drunk driving. Served a year suspension and had a job.
Stallworth. Yeah. But again, as ridiculous as all that is, I don't think that those things get the attention that this will get. Like, look at Michael Vick. Like the PR disaster that was. People were marching outside the stadium. What do you think is going to happen if a team trades for Deshaun Watson? You don't think that there are going to be the first game that he plays, there aren't going to be people out there, you know, women out there marching, organizations that are going to be protesting him play that you're talking about headaches, right?
I mean,
and remember, nobody would touch, you know, Kaepernick because they didn't want the attention.
Well,
what kind of attention do you think is going to happen if you trade for Deshaun Watson and that first game he plays?
Now, Rick DiPietro just texted me. He said that they had Schefter on today. On DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, one from 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday, he said that Schefter told them that this does not affect his trade value at all. I'm flabbergasted. And also, with as much money as Deshaun Watson makes, right? I mean, he makes a truckload of money. Why are you looking for massages on Instagram?
How, if it's not going to affect it at all, then there must be people within the NFL that believe that there is, like, no seriousness to these allegations whatsoever.
I would agree with what you're saying. Because how could it not affect it at all?
So they must know that all this is bogus. I don't know how they could possibly know that.
But on the flip side of that coin, like, if we know for a fact, and I'm not saying we do yet, that he is, in fact, going on Instagram and recruiting women from all over the country to come massage him, how could there not be something, some smoke to this fire? That, I mean, some fire with that smoke. It just, like, wouldn't make any sense.
Now, we have no idea whether or not these accusations are true, whether or not he did go on Instagram. That's what these people are claiming anonymously.
They didn't show the actual trail yet?
I don't think they have. Now, let's listen to Tony Busby, the lawyer for all of these women. And he talked about the lawsuits against Watson. Here's Tony Busby.
Now, as has been widely reported, we have filed lawsuits on behalf of seven women against Deshaun Watson for civil assault. And you should all know that before we filed the first lawsuit, I personally visited with the plaintiff multiple times. I understood that this case would generate a lot of interest. I wanted to make damn sure that what she was saying was plausible, was right and true. And I was convinced after visiting with her that she was telling the absolute truth. You should also know that we've also spoken to more than 10 additional women. So more than 22 women that we've spoken to who have reported conduct similar to that laid out in our public filings.
Very quickly on the sports side, Oral Roberts just upset Ohio State 75-72 in overtime. Ohio State missed two threes in the final seconds that could have tied it and forced a second overtime.
It was right there. There was a bogus travel call that gave the Buckeyes an extra possession, and they got a couple of really good looks for a three to tie the game.
And even before that, Don, there were multiple possessions that they came down, got nothing, gave it right back to Oral Roberts, and at the end, with like 2 seconds left, the final three was a wide open look, as good as you could get.
One quick thing about the massage therapist. I've traveled with sports stars for over 35 years of my life, so more than half my life. These athletes are so particular about the people that massage them, because they're getting massages for therapeutics. The Yankees, I'll talk about the Yankees because that's what I know the best. They employ a full-time massage therapist that goes on the road with them, sets up a room in his hotel, and players will go to that person to get massaged. I can't believe a high-end athlete is getting massages booked on Instagram. That's why if there are so many women, and if there's any proof that he's done that, that sends up a big red flag. Why are you doing that? This, your body is your product. You're just getting anybody to massage it? They are so particular about who does that. That is how you get ready for the next game.
Right, but let's face it, Michael, these were not getting ready for the next game.
Teams play. Yeah, teams pay a lot of money for these people.
This wasn't, you know, working on the hamstrings before the game. I mean, these were not therapeutic massages. And legally, that's fine. But that's why, you know, the team masseuse isn't exactly going to scratch the itch that he was looking for.
No, but it might not be legally fine either, Don, if he's searching around trying to find things like that on the internet. I mean, there's so many possibilities here. I mean, when you hear the similarity of the charges, if it turned out to be true, and there's so many of them, that maybe the thing that he's into is sort of getting in these situations and pushing the limits.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it sounds like, you know, he could have a real problem if this is something. If the numbers keep going, let me put it this way. If the number's 20, the number might turn out to be 100. It could be an endless number of how often he does this.
Well, I mean, just in terms of commonality, maybe the Patriots should try to get him, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, very nice. But let's circle back to what Schefter said, though. Not affect the trade value? The only way that – and I understand these guys want to win in the worst way, and they can get up from it, and there have been some deplorable human beings that play in the National Football League. But to give up would be almost a Herschel Walker-type deal. Then you have to know for a fact that there's nothing to these allegations. If you're telling me that teams are not affected by it, then there must be some inner working channel information that this is all bogus and he's going to be fully exonerated. How can it not affect what you're giving up?
Let's hear what from Schefter. This is on with Rick and Chris and Dave this morning, the latest on the situation.
The NFL has opened an investigation to see whether there are any violations of the personal conduct policy. There was a third civil lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson. The Houston attorney told ESPN the police have reached out. But it's interesting because there also have been no criminal charges. And I think that we have Deshaun Watson saying he's never treated women with anything other than the utmost respect. We had Deshaun Watson on a social media post saying that the attorney asked him for a six-figure settlement before going public on all of this. There's a lot here, and unfortunately, we've got two different versions of the story. And so I'll leave it to the NFL and authorities to hash it out and figure out what's right and wrong and who did what and who didn't do what.
And I said this earlier, too, on the show. Just because the lawyer went to Deshaun Watson and asked for a six-figure settlement, according to Watson, Busby hasn't replied about that. That doesn't mean that it's not true. I mean, Busby might say, you give us 200 grand, we'll make, you know, she won't say a word, because why put your client through that where she's going to have to be questioned about it and possibly go public? So if you could get the money, because the civil suit, guys, what's the civil suit about? It's about recovering money. What it costs you monetarily, that's what a civil suit is. You're not sending the guy to jail. So if he asked for the money before he went public, that doesn't mean that it's just a shakedown.
Right. And if you go to what Deshaun Watson tweeted out earlier in the week, that when it was, I think, just the one woman, right, and he wasn't willing to pay it because he said he was innocent. Now, so as if he didn't know that there were going to be all these women that were going to then come forward. If he had just paid the money right away, would there be no civil suit for them to climb aboard on? So it seemed like it took him by surprise.
Unless if he paid the money to the first one, then the other 11 was still going to come forward anyway because they knew that Busby got the other woman money.
I don't know. I don't know the timeline. It's a really ugly situation. It is. I mean, I hope this all gets resolved. But I, if I'm a general manager, how am I giving up all that and not know how it's going to end up playing out?
Very quick baseball news. Former Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who's had a long relationship with Mets owner Steve Cohen, has joined the team as a member of the board of directors. And Chris Christie's son, Andrew, according to Tim Healy, who covers the Mets, also works for the Mets in player development.
Well, that's awesome.
So there you have it. All right, we'll take some phone calls, some heavy stuff right there, 1-800-919-3776. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Keep voting for Drop Madness at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Peter will have the results during ENN. We're only on until 6:30 today because of the Rangers game. Don, are you calling play-by-play or are you doing the pregame?
I'm doing the pregame because, as you can clearly see, I'm home.
You know what? I should have put that together.
You know, you probably have the tournament on, right?
No, I have you on.
Oh, then that's tough to get up from that.
Yeah, because I do games from home.
That's the thing. I think that's forgivable, Don.
Yeah,
we're doing a Yankees game next Wednesday from home.
I know, but I don't want to dig a little deeper. But as you guys know, DirecTV's got a day behind. That's going to make it very difficult to call a game unless Dave's coming over.
Don just saw Oral Roberts get the win. Boom, right now.
That's why I couldn't say anything because I was so far behind. But that's a nice one.
By the way, is it a good sign that I did my pool in about 15 seconds and had Ohio State in the final game? Is that good?
Not if you want to win.
Okay. Well, Mike Greenberg just revealed that he had Ohio State winning the whole thing.
Really?
On Twitter, yeah.
I mean, I
that, you know, it takes the fun out of the rest of the thing, you know.
Well, especially for me, I'm done because I had them against Gonzaga. So
well, now you got a really nice, attractive placemat.
No, it's not even printed, so I don't have that either.
Oh,
all I have is a Maryland game, and I know tomorrow you guys, I'm sure, are both very excited. Also, the Raekwon versus Ghostface versus is going down.
Wow. I don't even know what he just said. Do you mind?
I don't either. No, it's another language. Darren Revell reveals that Ohio State was the 8th most bet team to win it all by tickets at DK Sportsbook and the 11th most bet by money.
Not what you want.
And that's not what you want. We'll come back. We want some phone calls. You know the number. And continue to vote for Drop Madness at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.